The Change Officer Podcast's Future of Financial Services series is brought to you by HolyWally, the world's first wallet-as-a-service platform. Stay tuned to find out how HolyWally can help you build your mobile wallet to increase revenue and reduce time to market.
What I've seen is a lot of good ideas sometimes come ahead of their time and are not able to capture the imagination of the wider ecosystem, and therefore they fail. If you are out there capturing a particular trend which is there, or a particular need which is there, to be more specific, I think you will get funded. What I always recommend all my banking clients is that we don't have to wait for the regulation to happen. You can start thinking about doing that today. Solving the SME problem, right, from a financial services perspective, is good for the economy, it's good for the community, and I think it's good for the financial services sector.
Welcome to the Change Officer Podcast's Future of Financial Services series. In this series, we are deep diving into some of the hottest and most pivotal topics in the financial services industry right now, including personalization in financial services, embedded finance, and the mobile payment revolution. Join us as we seek the answers to critical questions such as, what does the future hold for the financial services sector, and where should we look for the next big disruptive idea? For the first episode of the Future of Financial Services series, it was crucial that we brought on a guest who has a unique and broad understanding of the financial services space as a whole. This inaugural interview would set the stage for all future conversations on the show and introduce us to essential trends and topics to cover in future episodes. With this in mind, there is no one better for this role than Arjun Singh. Not only his partner with Arthur the Little's financial services practice and board member of MENA FinTech Association, but Arjun is also an established and respected commentator in the fintech and startup ecosystem across the MENA region and beyond. His wildly popular podcast, Couchonomics with Arjun, and influential LinkedIn newsletter, FinTech Crunch with Arjun Singh, both provide unparalleled insight into the evolution of the fintech and financial services sector locally and internationally. In this episode, Arjun provided his perspective on the current and future trends in the fintech space, including the need for regulators to take action regarding open banking and open finance, the continuing acceleration of contactless payments, and the introduction of biometrics and how digital currencies and crypto are becoming mainstream. Join us for the full conversation to learn from all Arjun's remarkable insights. Remember that if you have feedback, questions, or suggestions, you can connect with the Change Officer podcast on all major social media platforms. The links are in the show notes for this episode. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Change Officer, Arjun.
I'm dreading it.
All right. Unlike the first time when we had 90 or more minutes to record, today we have 15 minutes only. I couldn't find a better person to join me on the first episode of the Change Officer, the Future of Financial Services series. You've been at the forefront of this industry for a while now. You're recording the most influential podcast in this sector in the region at the moment, Couchonomics, and
that's
you're talking
very kind
to
of you.
As always.
I'm not sure it's the most influential, but I'm enjoying it a lot.
As always, very kind of me. So here's what I would like to do in this episode. I think I have a perfect partner to set up the stage for all of the episodes that are coming. We're going to try to talk to all the stakeholders in this industry, bankers, retailers, regulators, fintechs, everyone who is directly shaping the future of this industry. I would like to hear from you, being at the forefront of this industry and talking to a lot of people across a variety of different sectors. What are the trends that you recognized, that you are recognizing, that are shaping the future and how this industry will evolve in the next couple of years?
So firstly, thank you. Thanks for having me back, and thanks for warning me, because I think I seriously overran the last time around, right? So I will try and keep this to 15 minutes.
We have the sand watch.
Yeah, I'm going to look at that throughout the show. So I think, firstly, highly complimentary of you saying that I'm at the forefront of it. I think I am fortunate enough to be exposed to people who are in the forefront of it. And obviously through interaction and engagement with these people, some of that sort of distills through, and I'm able to retain some of that. The other thing which I think is very essential, and I think you're doing the right thing, which is bringing in the people from across the ecosystem together, because I do think financial services, by and large, is getting, if I may use the term, embedding or embedded more than it has previously. So actually to have these various actors share how their sectors are shaping and what ramifications and implications that has for financial services and the other way around, I think is the right way forward. So I think that's very essential. And that's a cue for myself in the sense that if Couchonomics makes it to the next season, I will expand the horizon of the people I speak to beyond just people who are on the, if I may say, the supply side of the equation, which has largely been the people I've spoken to. So I can go on for hours in terms of what the trends are. I'll try and pick a few, which I are going to shape both the immediate term, the midterm, and a few sort of, if I may say, sort of future.
What is future for you? How long?
5+ years.
All right.
Right. So I think you will see that they will start playing a role in the 5+ years. But some of the players might start taking actions today to be in a place to win in about 5 years' time. Right. Because I think a lot of this needs thought. A lot of it will require capital. And a lot of it will just need for the entire ecosystem to evolve. Because I think in the past, what I've seen is a lot of good ideas sometimes come ahead of their time and are not able to capture the imagination of the wider ecosystem, and therefore they fail, not for the lack of the idea, but just the lack of adaptation. But let me first start with what is happening today and actually is what is worrying a number of people, specifically in the startup environment, and if I narrow it down into the fintech environment, which is, and a lot of people are referring it to the winter is coming, sort of using the term from, I think, Games of Thrones. The truth be told, I think in the last two quarters, we have seen a substantial decline in VC or investor interest on tech stocks in tech startups. And you're starting to see that, right? You had, if I just take fintech, for example, you've heard what happened with Klarna, right?
Sure.
Or what might happen with Klarna. Whether they raise on a cut down valuation or not, I do not know. Even at that cut down valuation, they are I think at 25x their income, which is 3 times where a firm sits at. So some people are questioning even the cut down valuation, whether or not it will raise. If you come to the region, I personally don't think it'll be any different here. Initially the late stage in startups who are expecting large checks to be cut. Some of them will get it, but I think they might have to take a bit of a haircut with regards to their valuations, right? And in terms of what I guess the VCs will allow them to spend their money on, right? And I use the word allow in the sense that in the way the contract will sign. That will trickle down to companies which are in the sort of the mid stage. I think the early startups where the small checks are required, if your business model has a path to profitability, if you're not yet another Me Too, if you are out there capturing a particular trend which is there, or a particular need which is there, to be more specific, I think you will get funded. But I think generally startups will have to extend the runway they have, will have to look at things differently. It'll be unfortunate, but I think it will put a number of startups on the wayside.
Sure.
I think a lot of the Me Toos, which we've seen a lot in this region, will vanish. They just won't get funded. I think some good ideas will unfortunately not get funded. That's collateral damage of such an incident. But I think if you're not getting funded today, I think 9 months from now, it's going to be harder. So this is not going to go away in the short term. At least that's what all the commentators are saying. That's all the conversations I'm having, which are saying. So that's the first thing. That's the first trend. And I think that's going to have a serious implication in terms of what's going to happen. The second one, which I think we're all waiting for and we now need to see what has to happen, is the regulators have to move in, specifically with regards to open banking and open finance, right? Mm-hmm. Because I still firmly believe, and I think generally there is a consensus on that, that open banking, open finance will sort of unleash, unlock, a series of innovations which might come through fintechs. I think a number of banks will have to not only get compliant to open finance and open banking, which is where their initial concerns will come, but they will look at evolving their business model. So whether it is becoming a banking as a service provider, right, or banking as a platform provider, I think those models will emerge. What I always recommend all my banking clients is that we don't have to wait for the regulation to happen. You can start thinking about doing that today, mm-hmm. right? The next thing is, I think, this whole general trend of contactless, which we saw getting accelerated during COVID. It started well before COVID. I think that contactless will go further. I think we will see the introduction of biometrics with a couple of sort of big caveats, one around data privacy, the second around security. And I think those issues can get resolved. They're not something which are beyond the realm of human thought. But I do think biometrics will. And I think both Visa and MasterCard have recently announced some programs which they're working with a number of startups, whether it's using facial payments, palm, fingers, retinas, whatever part of the body works. But I do think this whole contactless trend will carry on. I think it also has some very interesting implications in terms of how unified commerce plays out, which I think if you are getting retailers on board, I think they'll have an interesting perspective to offer, which is how do you bring, in my view, remote commerce within your own stores, where the whole concept of checking out at the checkout goes away and so on and so forth, right? If I go to the next one, which I get most excited about, which is everything to do with, embedded finance. And what I mean embedded finance, it could go from being embedded wealth to embedded insurance to embedded lending to embedded payments, mm-hmm. right? And you'll see things like, lending as a service, wallet as a service, right? Those kind of things will emerge because more and more people will want to embed these things in everyday commerce, right? And I think I think it's incumbent on a number of the non-financial services providers to actually push the envelope on it, right? Once they push the envelope, it's expected that the fintechs and the banks will come around, mm. right? And if I carry on, and I'm not going to sort of list on because I know there's a follow-on question on this too, so I'll skip that trend and I'll pick it
I'm
up.
I'm letting you free flow as long as
no,
it makes
but,
sense.
But I do think that there is in the long term, I think there are a couple of very interesting sort of trends. One is DeFi, right? Mm-hmm. So decentralized finance. It's very early days, but there are some clear benefits both in terms of operational cost and the use cases which can be built on DeFi, which will come around. And then I think there has been a lot of chatter around digital currencies. And when I mean digital currencies, I don't just mean Bitcoin out here, but I mean digital currencies, for example, CBDCs, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know, I've lost count, but I think there's more than 90 central banks globally. I'm sure I've got this number horribly wrong, but I think the last time I read was...
We're going to check with Ronit.
Yeah, we can check with Ronit. That's a good idea. There are about 90 central banks which are exploring CBDCs, right, both from a retail and a wholesale perspective. And that could make a seismic shift, right? In addition, I do think, crypto will get to mainstream sooner or later. I don't think this is a wave which is going to go away irrespective of what's happening today or what's happening to Terra and Luna, et cetera, et cetera. And I think stable coins will have a place. And I think stable coins, which are actually pegged against something which is sensible, might actually get adoption faster than any of the other digital mm-hmm. currencies, right? So those are, in my view, 6-7 trends, and I'm sure I've missed some interesting ones, which will sort of shape both the near, mid and the long term of what we call financial services.
And I think that this is really laying down most or some major topics that we are going to discuss in the follow-up episodes, and some of these are actually good ideas.
I'm
going
to wait for you to find who's going to come and talk DeFi to you, but that's
a good one. Yeah,
yeah, that's we're a good one. And I do think there are people out there.
This is a public invite.
Yeah, it is a public invite, yes. Yeah.
You have two shows from one go. We can do it the same day, same studio. This episode of the Change Officer Podcast's Future of Financial Services series is brought to you by Holy Wally. within the next 2 years, 4 billion people will be using digital wallets, and the global mobile payments market size is expected to hit $5.5 billion by 2024. Enter Holy Wallet, a B2B2C white label digital wallet solution. It's the world's first wallet as a service platform that combines adaptability, rapid scalability, and optimized user experience, allowing anyone to build their own digital wallet. Their human-centric approach to design and usability allows you to provide your customers with the value and user experience they expect from a functional digital wallet. Holy Wallet helps companies reach their customers to increase engagement and enhance revenues with their white-label digital wallet. Whether you're a fintech, retailer, banking institution, or insurance carrier, Holy Wallet has all the elements you need to build your ideal digital wallet in a matter of minutes and manage it on an ongoing basis. To find out more or register for a demo, visit holywallet.com. The link can be found in the show notes of this episode. Enjoy. All right, so we're not going to get into each of these separately, and we can go on them for hours, and I know that you will have a lot of things to say on them. So we're going to leave these as separate discussions with separate guests, but what I want to hear from you, understanding the industry and understanding all of these areas, you as a change maker that I believe you are, in my humble opinion, and you're going to say we were way too kind again, but
I'm not going to say you're way too kind. I think you've just got that wrong, but that's okay.
But if you were to have another 24 hours in your day, or at least a couple of more hours in your day, to focus on solving a problem in this industry, in the future, that you believe would become, or is a major new opportunity, what would you focus on? Where do you think we are missing, or what is the area that is not being addressed enough, maybe? Or where do you see this new major opportunity for some new change?
So I don't think I'm going to invent a whole new sector to serve, or a whole new concept to bring to the market. But I think you're taking to the back end of that question, which is, you know, what could we do better as an industry? It's my hobby horse, and I think people who speak to me or who read some of the stuff I put out there, I personally think, and again I come back to this region, I think the small businesses, right, and the micro businesses, they have just been underserved, you know, years after years, decades after decades, and that's a bit bizarre, right? And in the sense, it's contradictory. I understand why, but it is a bit contradictory.
Why?
Contradictory. See, they constitute 90% of the employers in the market. They make well over 50%, if not 60%, of the GDP. Mm-hmm. of any specific country, right? Despite that, right, and they also form 90% of the number of companies, or maybe 99% of the companies that exist in a particular economy. But they have been underserved across the board, year after year, decade after decade, right? Now, is this problem getting solved? It is. I think there are some great use cases, great playbooks, great examples where people are addressing their needs, whether it is helping them with them running their businesses more efficiently, right? Whether it is helping them digitize their businesses more rapidly, whether it is helping them arrive onto this digital e-commerce stage, whether it is, you know, serving their needs regarding working capital financing, salary financing, right? Whether it's helping them with their payroll systems, and I'm now at a risk of actually repeating myself. But I don't think we have really, really taken the bull by the horn right here and solved their problems. And one of the reasons is that we look at this from a lens that is a decade old, right? So we approach the SME like we have always continued to approach the SME from a decade ago. And here is where I think there's a huge opportunity for possibly non-financial services players in partnership with financial services players to create some sort of a again, I use the word ecosystem very loosely, but an ecosystem sort of effect, which you can. Now, you have examples. Look at what Shopify is doing, right? So Shopify with Stripe Treasury is a great example, right? So they are providing a set of finance treasury compliance requirements, helping them open accounts more easily, get insured, so on and so forth, right? Where these merchants actually sit on top of a Shopify platform. And so therefore, you know, data is easy to access. You know, a cost of acquiring a new customer is cheaper. The stickiness of these customers are more. So, you know, you have lesser collection risks and so on and so forth. So there are problems that are being solved. You've got a bank called Oak North in the UK. Again, something, you know, I talk repeatedly about who are solving the needs of the SMEs. You look eastwards. You go to countries like India. You go to countries like China. You are seeing these problems getting solved. So I think there are enough examples out there which people can beg, borrow, learn from, right? And in this market, in its own unique avatar, start solving the problem. So for me, solving the SME problem, right, from a financial services perspective, is good for the economy, it's good for the community, and I think it's good for the financial services sector, right? We need to look at it differently. One way to look at it differently is looking at how embedded finance, right, or embedded payments or embedded insurance can solve the problems for the SMEs, right? So we can start looking at SMEs from a slightly different light than we have always looked at them, right? So let's not apply the same principles of financial services as we do with large businesses, but let's look at them differently. So again, we're going to run out of time. And yeah, as you said, I have 3 minutes or 2 minutes.
Sand clock is going.
So that's kind of my favorite hobby horse if I was to pick for the next 12 months, is I hope to work with a range of players, whether they're fintechs or large players, to solve this problem, because I do think that there is a potential gold mine out there.
Amazing. Arjun, thank you for taking the time to come back on the show. And I'm excited we're kicking off this special series with you. If everyone has an idea and wants to bounce it back off Arjun,
yes,
you can reach out.
I can only sleep. Yeah, I only sleep 4 hours, but I can obviously
catch him. What's the best time of the day to catch you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, well, exactly. It's between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m.
Take the use of that opportunity. Thank you for staying until the end, and stay tuned. There is another great episode coming out soon. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.